You can't get no honey from a bumblebee. There's no maple syrup in the old oak tree. You can't count to four when you only got three. There ain't nothing but love between you and me. You can't seem to get drunk on the herbal tea. You can't come back if you never leave. You can't cast an anchor till you sail the sea. There ain't nothing but love between you and me. But oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I feel alright. Oh, the sun's gonna shine tonight. So let me hold you tight. Let me hold you tight. I never felt pain till my heart went numb. I never felt the chase till I had to run. No, I never breathed air till you filled my lungs. There ain't nothing but love from the moon to the sun. But oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I feel alright. Oh, the sun's gonna shine tonight. So let me hold you tight. Let me hold you tight. Yeah, it's gonna be alright. Cause loving always feels just fine. Yeah, it's gonna be alright. Loving always feels just fine. It's gonna be alright. Loving always feels just fine. It's gonna be alright.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here. Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. You gotta talk about it.
It's horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
Won't say a thing.
No, go ahead. Say whatever you gotta say.
It's just now that I realize that we're starting.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that they don't have headphones.
They don't have headphones.
The mixer, neither of us can really reach the mixer. You've got a mic stand on my printer.
I had a mic stand on your printer.
But you know what?
What?
You look good.
You look real good.
So we got an exciting show. I am rip-roaring ready to go.
It's been a while since
we've shown. I think the last time we showed was with John Paul and Cariad Harmon and Clara LaFaro.
Sure.
But Cariad was
Look at you remembering everybody's name.
I'm on it.
Strawberry sauce all over your shirt.
My kid just was eating strawberry and just got it all over me.
He's sick, right?
He's got a little fever.
His first sickness.
First sickness.
Did you feel like worried like that you've never felt before? Like,
Yeah, I mean, the fever got to 102, so that was a little tough.
That's high.
And Mrs. Giggles was at work. So I'm home with the kid for, 13, 14 hours. And I was just like,
What'd you do?
We just took a walk. We hung out. We played. I tried to, keep him cool. Gave him a bath. But anyways.
Yeah.
We got John Paul in with us.
Yeah. Who was backing up Cariad last time he was on the show, which was phenomenal. It was a great show. It was a hot show.
It was a hot show.
It was.
Every aspect of it.
I will say that.
We can get him closer to that mic.
He can get closer to the mic. I'm going to turn him up a little too.
Okay.
He's comfortable.
He's comfortable.
I'm feeling good.
But here's the direct contrast of the last show and this show and how long it's been. It was like 104 degrees in that studio.
That's
and amazing. It was like, what was that? Like August, July?
Yeah, no, that was July.
July.
Yeah.
And so, today.
Peak of the season.
JP is looking dapper in a nice sweater. Wow,
thank you.
So, I mean, the seeds have changed.
Everything's changed.
Everything's changed.
He dressed nice for us, which is nice.
Look at you.
I just wanted to compare and contrast. Yeah, I wanted to fit in. So
we're talking about how we look on the radio. I love it.
It's visual. Well, I'm betting he's going to take that sweater off because it's going to get a little hot.
It's getting a little toasty. Yeah.
You can take it off whenever you want.
Okay,
just turn that light off. You turn that light off. I like it off. That's nice.
How does it look on the video? We're doing a little video.
I don't know.
Right now, the video. Yeah.
All right.
Video's not my concern, but. No, we want that on. Okay.
We need that on. Well, we need that on for the video.
We're talking
about clothes and talking about lights.
JP, what was the name of the song you brought us in with?
It's a new one. I guess I'm leaning towards Bumblebee, but I'm not sold on it.
I like the old Oak Tree.
Oak Tree, we call that. That's actually a song that I co-wrote with my friend of mine who's Abby Gardner, and she's really great. She plays dobro.
Yeah, I love a dobro.
Yeah, she's really fantastic. It's one of the few songs that I've successfully had a good co-write on where I felt like I came out of it. I tend to struggle more in the co-writing stuff.
What worked with it that it didn't work last time?
That's a good question. I think it was just there was already something kind of established when I went in. She didn't have any music, but she had the first verse or two. She just had these words written up and the idea of these contrasting things, which is kind of what the whole theme of the song is. And I don't know. I think the music came out pretty instantly. I just looked at the words and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I just started to play this Caribbean style
nice.
Groove and
it was beautiful.
And the chord just came out. Thanks.
That was nice. Thanks. Let me ask you this question. In your opinion,
yeah,
why are a majority, if not most songs, great songs, written about love? Why?
That's a great question. I think in a lot of ways, it's actually, it's funny. It's good that you brought this up because
it's something I'm glad I brought it up too.
No, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, it's impossible to write a song that's not about some type of form of love.
It's a passion.
It's a passion. Yeah. I mean, like if something is going to come out of you, like if something is going to build up to you to the point where you feel like you need to sit down and get it out of you, it's probably because of a love for something, whether it's a love for a hate or a love for a person or a love for land or a love for a situation or just a love for a passion to change something. And I guess that would be more like a political type of songs. But
so basically what you're saying is that it's a passion, whether you love it or you hate it, you're writing about something. It's built up so much inside of you that you have to get it out.
I think so,
where it's
a
passion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's possible to write a song that's not about love.
It's a great answer.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Do you find yourself loving now? I hear you got just get back from a... I'm trying to segue there.
Yeah.
I got to work on my segues.
Yeah, they're terrible.
No, you're doing good.
John Paul was just telling me about his trip to...
You're so loud.
Turn me down.
I did.
Bro.
I am. I'm on it.
Can you reach that mixer?
Yeah, I can reach the mixer.
John Paul was just telling me before the show about his trip to Greece and Scotland.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend is from Greece.
She
it originates from Greece.
Yeah. Well, she was born in Dubai, and she moved there when she was 18. And I was 21 at the time, and I was in college, and I did a semester where I went to Greece, and that's where we met.
Oh, wow.
And we did the long distance thing for a while. She was going to school in England, and so it was actually kind of cool, though, because, you know, I got to do a lot of traveling because of it that I probably wouldn't have done. But yeah, so this was the first year that my family went over there to meet her family.
Were you nervous?
No, not at all.
So they've never met.
They've
before.
Never met.
How long have you guys been going out?
October will be
seven years.
Wow,
7 years. So here you are. You're like, Mom, I'm gonna bring you meet the fam.
Yeah, well, I guess it was kind of like that. I didn't exactly bring them. Yeah, I didn't pay for their trip to fly halfway across the world.
But they still came for a specific reason.
They still came for the reason. Yeah, it was very cool. It was
so
very,
what
very
was
cool.
The first interaction like? Was there any tension? Was it all
no,
just really cool?
No, it was
cool?
Like super cool. And my girlfriend's mom, she found this like giant American flag that was just like totally outrageous. It was awesome. And she hung it up like in their little Greek house. So when you walked in, there was just this like massive flag. And it was just like, really
nothing
cool.
Makes you feel at home. Like an American flag. No, that's why I have one over my bed.
Yeah. Dude, right.
You got to try it out though. It really does.
Yeah. It does. I have one hanging over my bed. I'm not lying about this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just lets the ladies know like where he stands.
Where, just in case they're curious.
Sure.
Where his hair.
Bring the ladies back to the house with a American flag up. With a machete hanging off of it is a little sketchy. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Just lets them know. So we actually have a I don't know if it's a degree of separation here, but we got Schaefer in the studio with us as well, and his wife is of Greek descent.
Ah,
yes. So
I did not.
Greek women are.
Do talk to the microphone, my friend.
Yes, they're great.
Fantastic women.
There he is.
He's behind you.
I can't look at him.
This is an interesting setup.
The Greeks are feisty people, but
yeah, I like. You know, Greece has a great culture and it's a great place, and I love the traditional style Greek music and dance and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's just a really cool, laid back culture. I love it.
If you eat their food, you will live to be.
Yeah,
it's the olive oil and
good food.
Yeah. Greece. I've been there once.
Great food.
Terrible
beer, but good food.
Yeah.
Terrible,
vibrant, emotional people.
But great coffee.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know.
Is it like that warm beer? They serve everything warm.
No, it's not warm. It's just, they're just
Mythos,
not.
Mythos, right?
Just, well, Mythos? Yeah, that's like the big one there. I just never had a good alcoholic beverage there.
It's not,
but great coffee. I mean, really outstanding coffee.
And great views. You know?
I mean, great everything. Yeah. It's a great country. Awesome.
I could see it.
Yeah, it's really, really
I've never
amazing.
Been, but I could see it.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is.
I spent two weeks there.
Yeah.
So we went over there with us like a school trip, and we got to go to all the theaters and stuff, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I rented a scooter one day, we went tooling
got
around.
Killed.
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It's such a Greece, kinda like Italy. You go to the country and you feel like you could be there 2,000 years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
Ruins everywhere.
The whole nine yards.
I want to get JP to sing another song.
That's
quick. What Matty's here for. No, he's here. He's got the guitar ready.
Sure. Lights on.
Lights on.
Lights on all over the place.
I like the lights off, though, but I mean, I think
lights off is nice and easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
So, JP, what? I didn't expect you to jump into a song so quick. Okay. What song
we're
did you...
We're just going crazy here.
We're just going nuts. What song did you want to play for us?
I guess I'll play a song called This Time, This Day, This Year. It's called...
All of That?
All of That.
All of That?
Yeah, All of That.
Is this another one you don't have a name for, or you do?
I guess so. I mean, these are all kind of newer songs.
How do you...
All
right, before we get into it, how do you name a song?
Like, well, it...
He doesn't.
Apparently.
I just don't. I just kind of... No, I mean, it generally just comes organic, like, you know, just like in an organic type of
way. Do you
way.
Go based
Not
on,
the
like,
time.
Themes?
Yeah, it's kind of like, what's the overall theme of the song? It's generally in the chorus, there's a standout point that... where a lyric generally stands out. But I guess for these two particular songs, it's kind of funny that I play them back to back. Nothing really stood out to me. So I think This Time, This Day, This Year.
Okay. If I come up with a better name for
this.
Yes,
please. I'm open to some suggestion for sure.
The last one. The Old Oak Tree. I think that's what I said.
That's what you said.
Yeah,
so
The Old Oak Tree.
I'm going to have to write that down. Yeah.
And this one, I'll come up with something.
Okay,
just give me a second.
Awesome. I got faith.
All right,
here we
JP,
go.
JP, This Time,
This Day,
This
John
Day,
Paul.
This Year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and fight it. Try to deny it, but I think that you'll be feeling the same. I think you like it, though you disguise it just to get yourself back where you came. Hey, now it's all right. You can leave your name at the door. I'm feeling all right. This time, this day, this year. Yeah, this time, this day. So what's your story? You seek the glory, but you never thought of playing the game. Stop feeling sorry. It's weighing heavy, all the thoughts inside your shivering brain. And I know you think you're right. It's just I never seen it happen before. Don't you give up the fight. Not this time, this day, this year. Yeah. This time, this day, this year. Yeah, soon you will find out it's so much easier than it seems. Yeah, soon you will find out just exactly what all of this means. Hey, now it's all right. You can leave your name at the door. I'm feeling all right. This time, this day, this year. Yeah, this time, this day. Yeah, this time, this day.
All right, JP.
John Paul. John Paul.
John
Paul.
I like JP.
But yeah, but people don't know him as
John
JP.
Paul. John Paul. John Paul, JonPaul.net.
It's true.
And John Paul, JohnPaul.com.
No, .net. Both .net.
So both .net?
They're going to take
I thought you had
point.
A .com at one point.
Well, the .com is spelled...
J-O-H-N.
J-O-N. Right. The right way.
You're confusing
me. This is a very long, complicated story you're getting into here.
All right. Well, maybe we'll come back to it. So here's my suggestion for that song.
Okay. As far as the title goes. Okay.
I think it should be called You Can Leave Your Name at the Door.
Okay.
Just throwing it out
All right. I'm going to keep that in
Keep that out there.
I got to write that one down.
So you went to Berklee, which is the music school of all music schools, pretty much.
Well, I don't know if I would say that, but it was great. Yeah, I mean, I had a really good time there.
Which you can obviously tell, like, your technique is phenomenal.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
Like, your songwriting skills, you obviously learned a bunch going to that school and throwing money at them, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. But it was worth it, I think, in the end, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it was worth it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. I think,
yeah.
No, well,
no.
No. I do. I think for me, it was really great. I don't think it's for every, you know, person. I think that there's certain people who find their... I don't know, their artistic self at a very young age, and by the time that they're 18 or so, that they don't really need to take that path. For me, that wasn't really the case, so it was a really great experience for me to go there and learn how to play music, learn how to think about music, learn how to practice
playing music. And also play with musicians, you
know? And yeah, of course, there was a lot of stuff in that, so it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere else. In fact, it was the only school that I applied to. So I went to a school in New Hampshire for a year for psychology, because I was a little dubious about going into the music world for the obvious reasons. But
what were the obvious reasons? Tell them to us.
Financial. You know, mainly financial, and just the lack of security.
That is obvious.
Yeah, I mean,
as we all know from Giggles.
Yeah, right. I don't know your situation.
No, it's fine. I do.
Yeah, right. He hustles.
I was going to go for music school.
Yes.
And the reason I didn't go is because I had enough foresight. Whether it was enough foresight or not, that I didn't want to make it a job.
Yeah.
So I
was
like,
that whole thing too.
I didn't want to go down that road.
Of course.
So go ahead.
So yeah. Anyway, so it was perfect for me, and I'm glad that I went. And yeah.
What age did you go to college? 18.
Yeah, I started for psychology from 18 to 19, and then I got to Berklee when I was 19.
All right. So 19. You're 19 years old. We're going to just throw this out there as a hypothetical.
Sure.
You're 19 years old. You're making the decision of going from psychology to music to go to Berklee.
Yeah.
What do you tell yourself?
Well,
foresight. Looking back.
Oh.
Hindsight.
Oh,
that's the word I'm looking for.
Looking back.
What do you tell yourself?
Oh. That's a good question.
I'm full of them.
Yeah.
Dave and Giggles.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing, because I think that there's a lot of things that, with the mindset that I have now, I would like to tell myself at that age. But I think if I told myself at that age,
you wouldn't listen.
Well, it's not even that. It just wouldn't have clicked.
Right. So what would you tell yourself?
I would have liked to been able to understand how to practice and how to study the way that, and how to hear music and to think about music the way that I understand it now. I wish that clicked for me at a younger age, like it does for some people, but it's just not the path that I was on. And a lot of my favorite songwriters and players, a lot of them, you know, they, it didn't click for them at a young age, you know? So I don't think it's like strictly like artistically speaking, I don't think it's better one way or the other way.
Of course.
It just would have been nice to have that at a younger age.
It's definitely, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of this exercise here. Yeah. I want to go around the room on this one. Bradley, go back. Giggles. Go back. You're in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You're accepted into college. Before you go, what do you tell yourself?
What did I actually tell myself, or what do I tell myself now?
both.
What should I have told
hindsight,
myself?
What do you tell yourself as yourself now in your 30s to a young 17, 18 year old?
Yeah.
It's the time machine question.
Yeah, I would have said focus more on the dance.
Yes. Why didn't I think of that?
I think he's serious.
He is serious. Yeah, you asked me a serious question. I'm going to give you a serious answer.
It's a ridiculous answer.
Because I really didn't. Like, I think if I would have focused more. Because I don't know, you know this. I went to school for music theater. So
it was
dance and voice.
I thought you were joking.
No. Yeah, I'm sure. You straight guys, serious.
The sad part is.
You got to focus on the dance and the musical
so,
theater.
So, you know, I think if I would have focused more on the dance, then I think coming out of it, I would have been more marketable. But I think after, like, I really have, you know, it's interesting. You know what? I would have probably said, learn something else while you're going to school. Like, do something else, like, part-time.
You need a minor.
You need a minor. You need a minor. And my minor, I didn't have a minor. I was working at a...
Like, well, marionettes?
You need a minor, yeah. No, I was working at a racetrack, so I was doing audio-video stuff for
Which
this
one?
Horse race, Gulfstream, down in Florida.
Oh, cool.
So I was learning the cameras, I was learning audio and things like that. That was kind of fun, and that's where, you know, where I am now. But I think I would have probably, like, you know, liked to learn how to build something or done, like, electrical. You know, I think... Yeah. I hear right now electricians get $125 an hour or $100 an hour.
Electricians make some cash.
Well, make some cash.
It's not too late, man.
No, it isn't. And I think that's something, you know, whatever. But, you know, I would have said focus on the dance or get a minor. Yeah. Schaefer?
What I would have told myself, yeah.
A fellow music theater.
A fellow musical theater.
I would have told you both to get a real job.
Right, yeah. And that might have been nice if someone did tell you that. But everyone's always so supportive at that age. And people make a living
just
and
dance.
Get with those degrees, but it is always great to like. Would have been nice to have a minor in business or a minor in some sort of communications field or something. But then you take that out the second it gets tough. So I have no regrets of what I went and studied, but I would have said, what would I would have told myself, man? You know, other than wrap it up.
Seriously.
No, I don't know.
Let's pause.
Yeah. A radio pause.
The answer is easy, guys. Bang as many chicks as you can.
But wrap it up.
College,
but wrap
man.
It up. Just
college
bang.
Is good.
Remember that conversation we had on the way up to that one gig up in the Catskills?
Oh, yeah.
And Joey was, what, 18 at the time?
Yeah, something like
in
that.
In a car full of 30-year-olds. Yeah. We're trying to give all our advice.
What'd you say to him?
We're like, bang everything you
hate
see.
Hate that I can't see you.
Bang True. Everything you see. But wrap it up. And
well, maybe not bang everything you see, but be selective.
No, we were saying bang everything.
No, bang everything
you see.
You see. Well, what's the point? You're in college.
He's in college in New York.
What was your...
Bang as many chicks as you can.
That's what you...
How did we go from dance to that?
It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works.
We don't want to talk about our career choices. We just
come on, because in the end, I mean...
I want to ask Dave a serious question right now.
You're not going to get a serious answer.
Yeah, he's probably going to slough it off. One of Dave's serious ex-girlfriends is now married and pregnant.
Married and pregnant.
How
this
does
is
that
true.
Make? Are you? Is it a happy? Like, do you guys talk at all?
No, don't talk to her.
Don't talk.
But I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
I'm happy. You know, I mean, how do you think your ex makes you know feels that?
You guys should not talk to your exes.
No, I don't think you should talk to your ex.
No,
I don't. I think that's just a bad decision.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody.
Concentrate on relationships like you currently
the future,
have.
Right. You know, like moving forward.
Just moving forward.
Yeah.
Like Jean-Paul.
Like
Jean-Paul. Moving forward.
Right.
Jean-Paul, if I might ask you this question, because it's on your website, so I feel like if it's on your website and you talk about it, we could talk about it here.
Yeah.
You can say no, but
no,
you definitely talk on your website and your bio that you grew up with a stammer.
Yeah.
And I felt that was very... I'm trying to get serious here, guys. You know, get away from the banging chicks here. But you said you struggled with it, and and music was your way to get
it's
out
true.
Of it.
Yeah.
So, talk a little bit about like how you know.
Well, stuttering has been a thing that I've always had since I guess I started to speak.
From the get go, from like 3 or 4, just had it.
Yeah, just started. Yeah, just have always stuttered. So I've never really known. I find as I get older it tends to calm down a little bit. Maybe it's that I get more comfortable with it, so I'm not thinking about it as much, or maybe it's I learn how to control it a little better. I'm not too sure, It's kind of strange.
You think confidence is also a big...
I think it's part of it. I mean, it's certainly a... It has to do with the brain and the timing from the brain sends to the vocal cords is slightly off.
There's like a little delay or something.
Yeah,
like a,
exactly. Like a... So when a person who does not stammer speaks, the timing that comes from your head to your throat allows your cords to come together in a very like gentle way, so that when the air comes up, they can, you know, they do their thing, and the air makes them vibrate, which creates the sound. And so with people like me, the timing is off. So instead of them coming together slowly, they kind of like whoosh, they like slam shut. And so it is definitely a thing that has to do with that, but it's also tied up in, I've noticed that if I'm nervous or if I'm comfortable, there is a difference in my speech. And but when I was a kid, it was extremely I try not to say bad, because I try not to view it in like a good or bad type of thing.
It's but heightened.
Yeah, it was definitely heightened, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, well, kids, I'm sure you've been bullied about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, just... tons.
I had to go to a speech therapist when I was a kid.
Oh, so yeah? For what did you
I think
say?
R's. I can't R's. Remember.
I couldn't say my R's.
R's. Yeah. I can do the R's all day long.
He's like, that's not a problem, bro. Yeah. Like, it's like, that's not something.
Did music help?
Yes. Yeah, so I think that music kind of started because, I mean, I didn't really have any friends till I was around 14 or so. And yeah, I was just, I had about maybe like a friend or two, and I was just too scared to talk, so I just didn't talk. And a lot of times when I did talk, I got teased. So I started to play guitar, and I started to play guitar at 9, and I started to play drums at 10, and I wrote my first song when I was 10. And so songwriting was something that that came very quickly. Like it was just something that just started to happen. And I, looking back on it, I don't even think it's a conscious thing, but I think it was kind of maybe just a way to kind of fit in or something. Like, you know, it's always cool if you write songs and play guitar. So maybe that's where it all came from, and I'm sure part of it too was just, you know, I don't know, like I didn't have the distraction of going over to my friend's house and playing games or whatnot.
Sitting around playing Nintendo.
Yeah, so I came
too
home.
Too many years wasted.
Yeah,
trying to pronounce well, your R's.
Yeah,
So yeah, a lot of that time, a lot of that time from 9 to 14 was spent with my guitar, and then. When I got to high school, I did this amazing stuttering program that's actually on, I think, 27th Street or 23rd Street, called the American Institute for Stuttering, which is just an amazing program that completely changed me. And it helped me at the time to control it, but more than that, it just helped me to accept it and to be comfortable with it. And I think it was a good time too, because by the time you get to high school, kids are a lot cooler than they are when they're
totally
like, you know,
kids
12.
Are just cruel.
Yeah,
kids are just so
awful.
Cruel.
So I started to have this mindset of, you know what,
like, I was an asshole.
Like, I was like, screw it, like I'm gonna stutter, and people were cool with it. Like I started to tell people that I stutter, and a lot of people didn't even know because I didn't talk.
So it's like this so kid, was, he knew. Is he
yeah,
new?
Yeah, right. It was kind of, but. It was really cool because once I got to high school, I made all these really great friends who I'm still really close to now. And the music thing stuck, because at that point it was already a huge part of
who
I was. So I'm kind of at this amazing point now, which I never thought that I would get at, where like I feel so grateful for the fact that I've got this this stutter. And like I would say 90% of the time, maybe even 95% of the time, like I don't view it as a bad thing at all. And there's always the times where if it gets more frequent and I'm having a hard time talking, it could get
to the point where I'm like, like, you know.
Sure.
But for the most part, like, I've got this really positive mindset about it, which is just amazing because I hated it so much.
I bet.
I just loathed it. You
did
know?
You just, like, did you get to the point where you were just so frustrated that you just, I mean, you obviously everyone out.
Yeah,
but like,
sure.
You just hate yourself at some point?
Yeah, there were times, I remember, especially like if there were presentations in school, like the night before, I would just be up all night crying. Like, and I'd be crying to my mom and my dad, and they'd be, you know, they didn't know what to do. It was awful. It was like a really terrible thing. But I also think it's so cool because everybody who stutters, nobody stutters when they sing. And it's just proof that, like, when you sing and when you do musical stuff, it accesses a different part of your head.
So it's a different part of your head.
It's a different part of the brain.
See, I always thought it was like a psychological thing rather than an actual, like, physical ailment. Because, I mean, if you start singing, you don't hear it at all. It's not there.
Well,
it's just like when Karen was in here, she was singing as if she was American, not British.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's just proof that, well, I think that is probably more of a case of what you hear, like,
growing up on rock and roll.
Yeah, right. I know that Carrie, I grew up with a lot of American
I didn't mean
music.
To go down the Carrie path, but I was talking about you know, like, how when you're singing, it doesn't come out at all.
It's amazing, and it's super cool for me because it's literally, and like, I'm not trying to, I don't mean this as like a, I don't mean this to come out as like a sob story thing, but just to be honest, it's the only time that I get to experience, like, not having to think about my speech or not having to wonder if the next word is going to come out. And I just, like, it just feels so free. And I think
so.
That's
what's
what
more
I've,
freeing about it than just talking?
Well, like, because when I talk, I don't ever know what's going to come out and what's not going to come out. So it's constantly. I mean, right now, like, it's not a problem, but, I mean, if you hear me on a day when it is a problem, or with everyday stuff, like, you know, you call people on the phone, or you need to go ask somebody where a direction, just, like, small things that I think you wouldn't normally think of.
Right, you take for granted.
Yeah, it's like, and it's, I do the same thing with, you know, things that I have that other people don't.
Sure.
You know, you end up and so
and Giggles has dancing.
And
dancing.
Yeah, Giggles
just
has
dance.
Dancing. Right.
Focus on the dance.
So I think singing has always been super important to me because it just feels so good.
Totally.
Know, it's awesome.
All right, so you mentioned in there that you wrote your first song at 10?
Yes.
Do you remember this song?
Hell yeah, I do.
Can you play it?
Can you play it? I want to hear
the
first
song. I could play like one line of it.
I want to hear one line. What was the name of it?
It's called The 4th of July.
Nice.
I can't believe I'm about to play this. It's amazing.
4th of July.
Yeah.
You're 10 years old when you're writing this song.
10 years old.
What was going through your mind when you started writing this song?
So my cousin, who's about 4 years older than me.
He was cooler.
Yeah, he was way cooler.
Way cooler. Stutter.
No. And he plays.
He was dancing.
He plays too, and so him and I used to write songs together, and we would, like, you know, play them and whatnot. And so, down the street from me, our neighbor's house. This is so stupid.
No, it's great.
It's
this
amazing.
Is great.
It got robbed by this dude in like a ninja costume on the 4th of July. And so we wrote this song called The 4th of
July. Did that really happen?
It's
that someone
story.
Got robbed?
It happened right down the street from me.
Did he get caught in the ninja costume?
I don't know. I don't know what the verdict was or what the
because how did
was.
They know he was in a ninja costume?
You can
well,
see
yeah,
a ninja
I,
running
I guess,
from a house.
Yeah, you can see him just running.
You shouldn't be able to see a ninja
man,
running
man,
from a
what
house.
Did he look like?
He's
he
a real
like
ninja.
A ninja.
I don't think he was a real ninja.
No, you never see a real ninja.
Real ninjas don't rob houses.
Yeah.
So it happened on the 4th of July.
I can't remember how I go.
He hasn't played this in years.
I know, it's good.
I bought my first real six string
from that ninja down 13th Street.
I think that was it.
I'm into it. Yeah. I'm into it.
Okay. You can make up whatever right yeah, now. Right. We buy it.
It's a pretty amazing song.
I want to hear as much as you can remember and play.
Okay, so I literally know about 10 seconds of it.
But 10 seconds? Need. That's all we need. If okay, it comes here, back here it to you, keep it going.
Okay. This song's about the 4th of July. Some ninja guy, he tried to rob a house. Don't ask me why.
You know more. I know you do.
That's the only line I remember. It's the best line of the song.
That's good, man. That's good.
You don't know why.
I haven't played that in a very long time.
Well, we got you to play it.
Yeah.
Well, exclusive. I'd love to segue into another song because we got you here, man. I feel like this is the meat, man. Let's talk about
this is the meat.
Let's talk about love. Let's talk about stuttering. Let's talk about music, man. This is good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
What kind of music did your parents listen to? Did you grow up on that?
Yeah,
that
kind of. On? Well, my mom is really into music, and she was always playing a lot of stuff. I remember there was this Jimi Hendrix LP that we had. I think it was the Experience record, and it was on vinyl. And my parents had this old, you know, player that, I remember sitting down with that. But I would say most of the stuff going around the house was Paul Simon, and because of that, I'm a huge fan. I'm just obsessed with Paul Simon. Yeah. I mean,
why do they hate each other? Yeah. Why do Simon and Garfunkel hate each other?
Because Paul Simon is a dick.
Yeah. Well, Paul Simon knows he's way better than Garfunkel.
Dude, you and I want to hang out for like 30 years and then like make money together. Let's see how well we get along.
Yeah. We won't get along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that there is a lot of, I think it was coming from both ends from what I've heard and stuff. I mean, that stuff gets pretty complicated. I mean, the same thing happens with like all the great, you know, artists and stuff.
Sure. I mean,
they get super famous and it gets like super stressful and then they split up.
Yeah. It's like having a bunch of girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Something like that.
But they wrote such great songs. That's all that matters.
But I actually, I'm not really too into their stuff. I mean, it's great, but it,
you like Paul Simon.
But Paul Simon's solo career for me, I mean, I know I'm obsessed.
When he hit up that African beat, that stuff was great.
It's all good. I mean, he hasn't put out one thing that's not.
He is amazing. But I find it amazing that he wrote, I believe it was The Sound of Silence when he was 16.
Yeah, yeah.
He was 16 years old.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He wrote The Sound of Silence.
Really?
It's absolutely incredible.
Fucking Paul Simon, man. Yeah.
That's
right,
crazy.
Actually, right here, too, in Queens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
His son, if we're on the old
the bathroom.
6 Degrees of Separation, his son is in a band with a mutual friend of ours, the Ivy League.
Oh.
So, but yeah, they're just...
Who?
Deb's... All right. Deb's sister-in-law's
Kevin Bacon.
No, Deb's brother's son is in a band with or was in a band. I don't know if they're still together, but they're called the Ivy League with Paul Simon's son and a couple other guys.
You got to stick with that band, you know.
I know, yeah, right?
It's true.
But I mean, they got like the access to the studios.
Yeah, of course,
and, you know,
they got everything.
Paul Simon, try something else.
Yeah, right. You know? Seriously, wow.
That's awesome. John Paul, do you have? See, he's got me started on the JP
it's
thing.
All good, JP works.
What I wanna, let's see, you can sing any song you want, but I do wanna try to end with a cover, or maybe not end with a cover, but I want you to play your favorite cover,
because
I think that's always nice to hear.
We're not at the end yet.
We're not at the end. No. I'm just prepping.
You're just prepping him. Prepping him. Okay.
He's just an early shooter.
He is.
I do. What's on your mind? What do you got? What do you got right now? What's cooking? What's like a song that you love to play?
Of my own, or well, there's this song that I wrote that came out of a dream I was having. It's a kind of a funny dream. I was really stressed out in the dream. And so
was it about ninjas?
It wasn't about ninjas, unfortunately. But I don't. It could have been, but then
I think you
I woke
should.
Up,
you need
so.
To revisit this. Yeah, this ninja song.
It's probably my calling.
Yeah,
yeah. So I was having this dream and I was really stressed out. And so I went to a doctor and told him that I'm having this problem. I'm really stressed out. And
in the dream. You went
yeah.
To the
yeah.
Okay.
And so he wanted to know what was going on. And I don't know what was going on. So I was just like, I'm not too sure. I'm just really stressed out. And so his idea was to, kind of cut my head, like in two and to like open it up to like see what was going on. you know. So it was so I woke up thinking, wow, that's like kind of fucked up.
Yeah,
but it's a good topic for a song too. So I wrote this song called open up my head. Yeah.
And I think that's the real name of the song.
Heavy. That that is.
I won't come up with one for that.
That's the name of the song. This one hasn't. All right, there we go. A sure name to it.
I might still think of something, but
that's okay. Let me know.
All right.
So yeah, this is open up my head. Yeah, let's get the lights going.
All right.
Memories remind me of the sun and the clouds. They'll leave you in a drought, or they will flood you until you drown. I've heard it's best if you speak them out loud. Open my head and let's see what can be found. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on looking for clues and hoping that I find something new. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on playing the game. Her name was Rita Sue. She had eyes like avenues. You could search them for days and still want to stay, cause you'd find something new. And on my way to Aberdeen, she had come to me like a dream, with silver and gold. From her head to her toe, she was all I would need. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on looking for clues and hoping that I find something new. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on playing the game. That girl had expensive taste for a man with a humble wage. I gave all I had, got a fraction back at the end of the day. She had told me she'd never leave, so I stitched those words to my sleeve. They were strong at the start, but soon fell apart for reasons that I cannot see. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on looking for clues, hoping that I find something new. Open up my head, open up my head. I keep on playing the game. Oh, I do. I keep on playing. Love can be a drought, or it can flood you until you drown. This recurring theme says what it means. Too much from one and the other will leave. If you need proof or something to see, open up my head.
I think open up the head's the winner on that one.
Yeah. Open up my head.
Open up my head.
John Paul.
John Paul. John Paul.
I gotta tell you, I'm a huge Jack Johnson fan.
Yeah, but cool.
Listening to the lyrics that you've got tell a better story.
Oh, cool.
A longer story.
Oh, cool. Thanks,
and I don't need to feel like all Jack stuff is like, I need to be sitting around a campfire.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, totally. When you do listen to it, you're like, yeah, I should be around this campfire on a beach. But you, no, like I could listen to that in a nice living room in New York.
And biggest fan right here.
Biggest fan right here.
That's it. Rock Thanks, man.
Yeah, awesome. I love it.
So tell us, give a little shameless plug about what's happening next. What's coming on? Like you're touring. You dance.
Dance. I'm dancing. I just got back from a tour. I guess in August. Carrie Ott and I did a Cobill tour.
Cobill. What does that mean?
Cobill.
Oh, Cobill. Okay. I didn't know if it was this new thing.
Cobill.
Cobill.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Cobill.
I gotta write that down too. Cobill. You're on fire tonight. That's great. So we went down. We were in Alabama. We went all throughout Tennessee, Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania. All
right.
So we did a lot. We were out for about a week and a half, and so that was a lot of fun. At the moment, I just got some kind of standoff things as far as New York goes. I'm playing this really great show on October 11th at 9:30 at this really cool place.
Friday, right?
It is. Okay. And it's this great place called Postscript. Is that what it's called? Postscript. Yes. P-O-S-T and then Crypt. And it's in Columbia. And it's this really cool place that I played at a year ago. It's in their chapel in the basement. There's this old storage room, and it's all it's floor to ceiling stone.
Oh wow!
So the acoustics are like amazing, and I guess that the priest in the '60s was a huge music fan, so he used to have people come there to play, and there's no speakers. It's just all, you know, you just sit there and you play, and it sounds amazing.
I bet it does.
Do I need a ticket?
No, I believe it's free. And it's kind of
Your weird. Lady would like this music.
Oh, she'd love this music.
Yeah,
yeah, you guys should She's come Greek. Out.
It's, I love Columbia, like, that area.
It's beautiful. I know, it's awesome. It's kind of tricky to find, but if you go into the main entrance in Columbia and ask them how to get to Postscript in...
Crypt, chapel. Like C-R-I-P-T?
Yeah, crypt. Yeah. Yep. They'll tell you how to get there, and it's really beautiful, and it's just it's a really kind of cool experience that you don't get anywhere else. So I'm excited about that. And cool. then, yeah, so I'll be up in Boston in October, too, on October 22nd. And as far as that, I mean, the majority of my time right now, I'm just kind of spending... working on my my material, as I'm hoping that the next year or so to go into the studio for to record. And so I'm kind of in the writing stage right now, and so just doing some type of, you know, one-off type of stuff here and there. But the majority of my time, I'm spending a lot of time in solitude.
All right.
I'm doing a lot of writing. So, yeah.
Is that what you do? You just like kind of lock yourself in a room, or you go somewhere and just kind
of... It's a lot of solitude. Yeah. I guess that's kind of the life of a musician, a lot of practicing and studying and just trying to explore new music. And I'm really kind of interested in sounds right now, and incorporating that more into my songs. And the first EP that I put out, it was a really great learning experience, and it was really cool. But I'm looking for something different now, and so I've been exploring that, and I've come up with some cool stuff that I'm excited for. So I think it's going to be great when the time comes.
Are you going to stick to the acoustic guitar? Are you going to venture off into electric?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more geared towards electric type of sounds. That seems to be where it's going. So.
That seems to be where sounds are.
It does seem to be. Yeah, yeah.
You can do so much over there, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Now, let me ask you. You seem to be a guy that when you play a show, you're sitting down. Is that true?
It is true.
You're not really a stander-upper guy.
I'm not. And the reason is because a lot of the stages that I play right now are kind of small. And for the people on the radio audience, I'm just over 6'5". So especially when there's other people on the stage,
yeah,
it's very distracting to me because I'm thinking the whole time, oh my God, I'm so tall.
And Kara is not a tall person.
Yeah, and she's so especially tiny. When I play with Kara, I'm always on the stool. I just feel more calm. And I think it's also that I practice sitting down.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And with guitar, when you stand up, everything kind of moves. And so it's different. I should practice more standing up. But
just dance.
Yeah, just dance. So I do generally play sitting down, but if it's a bigger show, then you know I'll throw the old guitar strap on and
nice
and tower over everyone.
All right, so you just got back from basically a tour with Kara-Ab.
Yeah,
tell us a good on the road story.
Mm.
Tell us something embarrassing about yourself or Kara-Ab.
Specifically Kara-Ab.
Something that might have happened late at night.
No, well, yeah. I don't know. I should have written some stuff down, I guess. I'm trying to think. A lot's happened between.
What was your favorite in Tennessee?
My favorite in Tennessee was we played Chattanooga, I believe it was.
That's a cool town.
It's a very cool town. And we played this great show there. There's just such a community there, you know, this like small town community. And we played at this place called the Foyer, I believe it was called. And it's this really cool coffee shop that's also a venue that probably holds about 200 people. It's pretty big. And the coffee is, I mean,
this guy loves coffee.
He loves coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best coffee I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was
better than Greece.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
You know when you have a good cup of coffee because you're just like, yeah.
These guys, they know. So if you're down in Tennessee and you're hearing this, you know, go to the Foyer.
Go to the Foyer.
But our show there was packed. I mean, it was awesome.
For you, or was there like a.
There was a guy who was.
I didn't mean to sound like a douche.
No,
but like,
no, that's a legitimate question. No,
are you really that big of a draw in Chattanooga?
Yeah, right. So no, this guy who's from there, I guess, was playing his first. It was his first time playing out, and he works at the coffee shop. So he had all the guys who normally come into the coffee shop. They're all there to see him, and he was actually really great. I was like, wow, I can't believe this is your first time on stage. You're really good.
Who books your shows?
I do. So,
you just call up, like, how do you just call them? Be like, hey,
email,
send a link, and
email stuff, and you gotta keep emailing them, and do it over and over and over until they're ready.
Have you ever showed up somewhere and they're like, hey, we're supposed to play, and they're like, no, you're not.
I've had it. I was meant to play in Virginia this one time. I won't say where. And a week before my show, I went on the calendar on the website, and my name wasn't there, and so I emailed them, and they're like, no, you're not playing. I'm like, I have in my email, like, we got confirmed. It was a good thing, like, I didn't
show
like,
up.
I check. I was real pissed if I drove from New York to Virginia for nothing.
That'd have been great.
Yeah, it would have been real great.
Just smash guitars. That's what you do at that point.
Yeah.
Mike, you can't dance tonight.
No dancing. I feel like we're coming to a good spot. Like, I think we should, you know, leave on a high note.
Yeah, we're right at that hour mark.
Let's, you know, hey, from me to you, and from Dave to you, and from Schaefer to you, I want to say thank you for coming out here.
Oh, thanks for
coming
having
on.
Me.
This is good, you
thanks
know.
For coming on. And because we never said it, we are Dave and Giggles.
Yep.
We haven't said it this show.
Nobody knows who we are.
And John Paul, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What song do you want to go out with?
Well, I'm going to do a Ray Charles tune.
He's all right. Yeah. I love Ray.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Anytime, buddy.
We good? Don't deceive me. Please don't leave me. Why would I do this without you? To see me through. When you squeeze me, then you please me. What would I do? Yeah, without you to see me through. What would I do? Say I wanna know. What would I do? Where would I go? Well, if you leave me, then you grieve me. What would I do? Yeah, without you to see me through.
John Paul, JONPaul.net.
JONPaulMusic.net.
JONPaulMusic.net. Hey, you know, we didn't get to talk about that.
Good show.
Good show. Thanks
real.
For coming
that
in.
That felt
yeah.
really real.
Yeah.
That was really great.
Yeah.
That was great. Thanks again
for
coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And to all those out there who are a fan, 2 more episodes of Breaking Bad.
Shit's hitting the fan.
Shit's hitting the fan.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. No spoilers. All right. Thanks again, JP.
Thank you.
Have a good night, boys and girls.